You're listening to a message from Gateway Church Geelong. We hope it blesses you. For more information about Gateway, visit gc.org.au.
Good morning, church. I'm so excited that you're joining us here this morning. This morning, as we continue on talking about lessons in the journey, I want to share with you a lesson in the journey that God's been teaching me about. It's about emotions, loss, and finding contentment. So if you're taking notes, that's the title of my message: Emotions, Loss, and Finding Contentment. Church, the world we're living in today is vastly changed because of the COVID-19 pandemic. It's constantly evolving. There's many uncertainties in the world. The familiar way of life we're used to is somewhat evolving and changing every day. We are learning and navigating new normals. And when I read on that, all that, it sounds a little bit bleak, but can I encourage you? As it says in Hebrews 6:19, we have a hope as an anchor for our soul, firm and secure. So when we hear all that about what's going on in the world, what's our response as followers of Jesus? How do we navigate this journey where we experience change, different environments, a range of emotions, and loss? Let's look at the Apostle Paul. He was someone in the Bible who knew about these things. He knew about emotions, he knew about loss, and he knew how to find contentment. To give you a bit of background, Paul's ministry involved sharing the good news of Jesus to many. As a result of his ministry, he did end up in prison multiple times. The book of Philippians is Paul's letter to the church in Philippi. It's actually written whilst he's in prison. The church in Philippi had generously supported Paul throughout his ministry, and when they heard he was in prison, they once again sent a contribution. His letter to the church in Philippi is to encourage them, but also to thank them for the gift they had sent. So let's read from Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 to 13. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and your minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing. Then the God of peace will be with you. How I praise the Lord that you are concerned about me again. I know you have always been concerned for me, but you didn't have a chance to help me. Not that I was ever in need, for I've learned how to be content with whatever I have. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I've learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it's with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or little. For I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. I love that passage of scripture. Despite Paul being in prison, his overall theme with it is joyful. When we look earlier in Philippians in chapter 1, he says, in all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy. In Philippians 1:18, Paul says, but what does it matter? The important thing that is in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. And because of this, I rejoice. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice. Church, Paul is in prison. Prison's not an easy place, and this is his response. His response is joyful. But I look at that, and I'm fairly confident that Paul didn't arrive at this place of joy from day one. In other letters, we see Paul sharing of different emotions he experiences. He shares of anguish, despair, anxiety, and fear, all real emotions he experienced. In Philippians 2, verses 27 to 28, Paul expresses real emotions about his friend who was unwell. Philippians 2, 27 to 28. Indeed, he was ill and almost died, but God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but also on me, to spare me sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore, I'm all the more eager to send him again, so that when you see him again, you may be glad and I may have less anxiety. Real emotions there, church, sorrow upon sorrow, that I may have less anxiety. Interestingly, the phrase less anxiety used is translated from the Greek word alupos, which means to be free from grief and pain or less sorrowful. Church, how encouraging that Paul experiences all these emotions, anxiousness, grief, and sorrow, and yet he was joyful. So what does that mean for you and I today? Church, can I encourage you that emotions are part of how we created? Acknowledge how you feel. Allow yourself to experience emotions. Experiencing emotions is normal and healthy. I think sometimes our culture is one where we're sort of soldier on people, we suppress all emotions, just get on with it. But can I encourage you, again, experiencing emotions is normal and healthy. There are a range of emotions we can experience at different times. And just as Paul did, Jesus too experienced a range of emotions. Before he was to face the cross, Jesus was distressed and anguished. We read in Luke chapter 22, verse 44, "And being in agony, deeply distressed and anguished, almost to the point of death, he prayed more intently, and his sweat became like drops of blood falling down on the ground." When Jesus went to see Lazarus, his friend who was dead, we read in John 11:33, "When Jesus saw her sobbing and the Jews who had come with her also sobbing, he was deeply moved in spirit to the point of anger at the sorrow caused by death." Church, Jesus felt emotions too. And in the world we're living in, with the pandemic, with violence, an uncertain economic future, we too may experience similar emotions: anguish, deep distress, anger, sorrow. Church, Jesus understands our emotions. He experienced them too. Can I encourage you again that experiencing emotions is not bad? However, what we do with them does matter. Acknowledging emotions doesn't mean they have to dictate everything you say, do, and think. You can experience them without being controlled by them. As we pursue health in all areas, church, including emotional health, allow yourselves to experience emotions. Allow yourselves to work through the emotions that you feel. And as you do, also allow yourself to grieve. Grief is a normal response or reaction to loss. Grief can affect a person in many ways: physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. Through this COVID-19 pandemic, we have all potentially experienced some sort of loss. Loss of loved ones, loss of community, loss of fellowship or social interaction, loss of a familiar way of life, loss of income, loss of work. There's a range of losses that we can experience here, and all these are real losses. And with loss comes grief. Each person's grief is their own, and different people grieve differently. I can share personally of how I was impacted by the COVID-19 pandemic. You know, when we first went into isolation, it was a hard time for me. I recognize it as grief then. I'm single, my family lives overseas, and the communities that had become my family here, my church family, my community at the gym, they were suddenly taken away, and all of a sudden, it's like, oh, I'm on my own here. The truth was I wasn't, but that's how I felt. And there was this heaviness upon me, there was this sadness, this sense of life is hard, things are tough. But you know, being me, my natural tendency, the whole soldier on thing, I withdrew from anything that could possibly touch those sort of emotions, bring them to the surface, and I've got super busy, you know, busy with work, busy with training at home, doing all the things to not feel and not allow myself to grieve. But I'm so thankful that God brought a trusted friend along. You know, this friend said to me, you know, we can see that you're hurting. We know that you're hurting. And through that, the Holy Spirit really began to work in my heart to go, oh, actually I am. Actually, I am going through some hard things. I am feeling these things. And really, he pinpointed to me that this was grief that I was experiencing, that I was experiencing a loss of all these things I knew, and I had to go on a journey of working through those things. And it's the same for you this morning, church. Jesus understands your grief and loss. We read in Isaiah 53, verse 3, "He was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with deepest grief. We turned our backs on him and looked the other way. He was despised and we did not care." Can I encourage you, church? Can I assure you this morning that God is there for you in the midst of your loss to bring comfort and healing. Just as he was there for me, he's there for you this morning. In 2 Corinthians 1, verses 3 to 4, we read, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of all compassion and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God." Psalm 147, verse 3, "He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds, healing their pain and comforting their sorrow." How good is our God, church? You know, just as he provided that comfort for me, he can do the same for you. Just as he heals my pain and comforts my sorrow, he will do the same for you. So church, give yourself permission to grieve. Go on the journey to grieve what is lost. Let God heal your pain and comfort your sorrow. Can I encourage you? Don't do this journey alone. Like someone had to speak into my life, talk to a trusted friend or a leader, or speak to a professional, whether that be your doctor, psychologist, counselor, or pastor. We all need each other, church. And in this time, suppressing emotions and grief are not helpful. And that, an analogy I was reminded of as I thought about suppressing emotions and grief is a jack-in-the-box. A jack-in-the-box is a bit of an old-school toy, but if you know how it works, you pop the jack down in the box, and then you've got a crank that you can turn and turn and turn, and eventually jack pops out of the box. And you know, emotions and grief can sometimes be a little bit like that. So you pop the emotions in, you pop the grief in, you close it all in, shut it down, hopefully it stays in there. But you know, as the pressures of life come, as that crank gets turned, pressure comes, things happen in our life, and you know what, eventually jack's going to pop out of the box. And that's what can be with our emotions. Those grief, those feelings of grief, those emotions will surface at some stage. So can I encourage you, deal with it early. Stay on the course of working through it so it doesn't become an outburst. Start the journey or stay on the course of working through your emotions and grief. The good news, though, church, this morning, the good news, it's not all loss and grief. While we're on this journey of working through emotions and loss, we can learn to find contentment. I love Paul's declaration in that scripture in Philippians 4 that we read in verses 11 to 13. Here's what he says. "Not that I was ever in need, for I've learned how to be content with whatever I have. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I've learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it's with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or little. For I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength." We look at Paul's situation, and it was hard. It's very possible that he was discouraged at times, that he was dissatisfied or disenfranchised with where he was at. See, church, Paul was aware of his situation. Contentment is not a blissful ignorance or an unawares of what's going on around you. Instead, contentment is knowing God will provide everything we need, trusting him for all things and being at peace with whatever situation or circumstance we are in, knowing that he's got us. In verse 12 and 13, we see that Paul learned to be content. He learned the secret of living in every situation. He learned it. It didn't just happen instantaneously. It wasn't like he woke up one morning and, yep, I'm content. Learned is a verb. It's an action. Learning contentment requires action. But the encouraging thing we can see is in verse 13, "For I can do everything through him who gives me strength." Paul was empowered by God to learn to be content. Christ gave him strength to do it. So let me encourage you, church. Action plus God-given strength are keys to learning contentment. So how do we do this? How do we start to learn to be content in the midst of whatever situation we are in? Let me share a few keys that God has been teaching me about. Firstly, trust that he is our source and that he has the best for us. Multiple times in the book of Philippians, we see Paul illustrating that we can trust God. In Philippians 4:19, he says, "And this same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs from his glorious riches, which have been given to us in Christ Jesus." In Philippians 1:6, "I am convinced and confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will continue to perfect and complete it until the day of Christ Jesus, the time of his return." He will supply all your needs, guys. He will continue to finish the good work he started in you. Going back to Philippians 4:6, it says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Church, we can tell him what we need. Tell God what you need. It says it plainly there. Our God is good. He has your highest and best interest at all times. You and I can trust him. And again, this is a journey that I've been on. Earlier this year, I put a deposit on a block of land in Leopold, and it doesn't title till next year, but soon after I put the deposit on it, everything started with COVID-19. And I remember just being like, oh gosh, what do I do here? Like, will I have a job next year? Will the builders put their prices up? And there's all these different thoughts that can go through my mind. But I really had to go, do you know what, God, I'm going to trust you in this. You have led me in this direction, so I know you will see it through. And that gave me such peace, that gave me such assurance, because I know he's on the throne. He is my source. Whatever's happening around me, he has the best for me, and he is my source. Hear my heart here this morning, church. Trusting God is not an excuse to be complacent or cruise through life. You know that old phrase on bumper stickers that say, I trust God, but I lock my car? That same idea. That you and I still have to take ownership for our journey and growth. There's still things that we need to do, pursuing all that God has for us. Comes back to that statement I made earlier, that learning to be content involves God-given strength, but it also requires action from us. So this morning, as we learn to be content, trust that he's our source and that he has the best for you and I. Secondly, in learning to be content, we can cultivate a heart of gratefulness and thankfulness. I believe it's really hard to be someone who is discontent and grateful. They don't seem to go hand in hand. In Philippians 4:6, we read about thanking God for all he has done. We read again in 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong in Christ Jesus. It says thankful in all circumstances. Not in some circumstances, not if I feel like it, not if it's a good day, but in all circumstances. In all circumstances, church, you and I can find something to be thankful for. The even better news is that gratefulness and thankfulness is good for you. They're good for your health. To quote an article by Harvard Health Publishing, in positive psychology research, gratitude is strongly and consistently associated with greater happiness. Gratitude helps people feel more positive emotions, relish good experiences, improve their health, deal with adversity, and build strong relationships. I don't know about you, but they all sound like really good things. For positive emotions, relish good experience, improve their health, deal with adversity, and build strong relationships. Church, in the midst of our situations, let's look for opportunities to be thankful. So as we learn to be content, we can trust that he is our source and that he has the best for us. We can cultivate a heart of gratefulness and thankfulness. And thirdly, as the worship team comes, we can fix our thoughts on what is good. Philippians 4 verses 8 to 9 says, and now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about these things that are excellent and worthy of praise. As we fix our things on things that are good, it's not some super spiritual amnesia that we forget everything that's happening around us and we block out reality. But it's a shifting of our thoughts. It involves being deliberate in the thoughts that you focus on. A thought may come into your mind, but then you have the choice of what you do with it. You can take captive every thought and make it obedient to truth. You can bring those thoughts to the Holy Spirit and say, he's the one who is all truth. What's going on here? What should be my response here? In 2 Corinthians 10:5, it says, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Again, we can bring those thoughts to the Holy Spirit and say, is this truth or is this my perception? But you can also ask God to help you, allowing him to change the way you think. Again, we've got our part to do, but it's God-given strength that helps us to learn this. We read in Romans 12:2, don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Let God transform you, church, into a new person by changing the way you think. And hey, I'll be the first to admit, I'm still a work in progress with this. You know, coming back to everything that was happening with the pandemic and the uncertainty about the economy, you know, there's talk of recession and then people talk up, throw out words like the 10-year depression is coming. And, you know, if you're anything like me, sometimes you go, oh, what's going to happen? You know, you start going down this rabbit hole of anxious thoughts. You start with one anxious thought. Will I still have a job? How am I going to pay for this? If I have a mortgage, how am I going to pay for that? And before you know that, you're way down that rabbit hole of uncertain thoughts and anxious thoughts. But I've been on this journey of learning to take every thought captive. Taking those thoughts captive and bringing them to the Holy Spirit, who is all truth. Seeking His truth and His word. Allowing Him to renew my thinking and replace anxious thoughts and feelings with His truth. So can I encourage you this morning, church? Let's be deliberate with this. Let's go on that journey of fixing our thoughts on what is good. Let's take captive thoughts that are not true and line them up with truth. Let's allow God to transform us by changing the way we think. As I wrap up, I recently listened to a podcast by Dr. Brené Brown. And a quote that was said in it is, "We are experiencing a collective loss of the world we know and lived in before the pandemic." And there's truth in that. We are experiencing loss of the world we know. But can I encourage you this morning, church? There is so much more to the story. God is still on the throne this morning, church. He is your source and you can trust in Him. Let's go on this journey of acknowledging our emotions, acknowledging how you feel, and allow Him to come and meet you in your sorrow, in your pain, in your grief. He's the God of all comfort. He heals the brokenhearted and restores your soul. And though we may experience different emotions and grief, we can learn to be content, even joyful. We can grow in contentment through cultivating a heart of gratitude and fixing our thoughts on what is good. So church, let's go on this journey together. When I walked in this morning, I was just drawn to our scripture for the year again. Ephesians 3 verse 20, "Never doubt God's mighty power to work in you and accomplish all this. He will achieve infinitely more than your highest request, your most unbelievable dream, and exceed your wildest imagination. He will outdo him all. For His miraculous power constantly energizes you." Church, this is the God we serve. This is the God we follow. So let's go on this journey of working through our emotions and loss. Let's learn to find contentment in the midst of our circumstances. Bless you, church.